Your Pie Podcasts again here. Today we are so excited because we have Anna from the Django Girls Foundation on the be with us. And so you have already seen Marietta, and I'm Chuck, and we are the host of the Pie Podcasts. So for Anna, I think it's the best if you can introduce yourself, because we really want to know about you and I don't want to miss anything.
Hi Chuck, hi Marietta. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. So my name is Anna Makarudze. I'm the current Django Girls fundraising coordinator, a position that I've held since June 2017. And I'm also a trustee for the Board of Trustees for Django Girls Foundation, and also software engineer for Django Girls Foundation since August 2020, when there was a transition in leadership. I also support the Django Girls website and the other resources in the GitHub repo. So I'm kind of like the lead maintainer for the website, and also work with volunteers to maintain our resources, because the website and the tutorial and our coaches manual, organizer manual, they are all open source. So we work with volunteers to maintain them, to make sure that they are kept up to date and accessible to the general public.
Yeah, I have heard so much like exciting news from Django Girls like earlier this year. So I know now we are Django Girls Plus.
Yes. It was a decision that the Board of Trustees made, because over the years we're being asked if whether we were inclusive of trans women and LGBT. So it was just easier to add a plus to our name without really changing the known name that we've had for 10 years. As you know, we turned 10 this year. So yeah, it was a win for us. So we over the years, we've tried to change the language on our website to show that we are inclusive of everyone who identifies as a woman. So that was the idea behind the name change.
Yeah, I'm so happy to see that. And you will be very busy. And I know you also personally have to make a big change. You're moving country. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I've moved from Zimbabwe to Sweden for my master's studies. I'll be studying software engineering at Blekinge Institute of Technology in Karlskrona, Sweden. So I left Zimbabwe on the 14th of August, and I'll be starting school on Monday, the 2nd of September.
Oh, are you excited?
Yes, I am. So that's when we have our introduction day. I get to learn more about the program, as well as meet my classmates, as well as my lecturers and professors. So yeah, I'm excited for that. And yeah, it's been a great change to what I'm used to.
Yeah,
I'm adjusting, because when you in Zimbabwe, when you say I want to buy a bed, you buy a bed that is complete, already assembled with a mattress. But I was shocked to find out, yeah, you buy a bed separately and then you buy a mattress separately.
Yeah,
and the bed comes in a box and you have to like assemble everything. So I had to buy a drill. I now have screwdrivers and I have a hammer.
Yeah, that's the Swedish furniture. We know, like, we don't have to mention the name, but if we see, let's say, like, Swedish furniture, we know you have to assemble it yourself. That's how it works.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
So it was a shock for me. I thought I ordered two pieces of furniture and I get two boxes.
He's like, oh, this is my bed, you sure? But you are now very good with hardware as well, so that's good. Hardware and software, we can do everything.
Yeah, it's been a learning curve, so yeah, and it took me days. But I'm getting there now, so I am glad that I had time for this, because I came about 2 weeks earlier than when I was supposed to start, so I had time to go through these new changes, you know, patiently. I didn't get frustrated because I wasn't in a rush. Yeah, it would have been something else if I arrived just in the nick of time when I was supposed to start my program. So yeah, it has been a good huge change, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's good. That's
super
good.
Exciting. Yeah, I'm glad for you. Tell us more about you mentioned you're doing software engineer lead for Django Girls, because I think that's really interesting. I know, you know, the Django Girls tutorials is one of the resources I like to share for people who are, you know, learning Python, learning Django. So it's really useful resources. Can you tell us more about, you know, this new role within Django Girls? What do you do?
Okay, so the tutorial is a bit separate from the website. I normally work on the website. I'm maintaining it, making code changes, fixing bugs, and then I'm also in charge of deployment as well as adding new contributors to the website. Then with the tutorial, every now and then I also contribute to it, like introducing new changes. For some time we added a section where people could learn on the cloud using Run Code. They were giving us the platform for free, but we have since removed it now because it's no longer available. People have to pay. So we try to make sure that we have the things that we mentioned, the resources that we mentioned in the tutorial are free for the participants. So because it's no longer free, we remove that. So every now and then, if there's a, I wanted to restructure the tutorial actually, but it's huge. So the first pull request that I did, it was a bit big. It took time to have people review it. What we've been trying to do is to shorten it by making sure that if you're on Windows, you follow Windows instructions. If you're on Linux, you follow Linux. If you're on iOS, on Mac, you follow Mac instructions. But because everything is so mumbled up and it's a long tutorial, it's difficult to do it in stages. But at the same time, if you do a large pull request and it takes time without being reviewed, it gets overtaken by events. So now I think I'll have to start again. But that's something that we have wanted to do for some time. If I can get people to work with, we would want to do that too. Separate the instructions so that our participants are not confused by having to read through so many notes that really don't affect them. If you're on Windows, you don't need to know about a note about Ubuntu or about Mac. And the same applies to those on Ubuntu and Mac. They don't need to know about Windows. It would actually make it easier for participants if they just had to go through what is platform specific for them. So that's one thing that I hope we'll be able to do. I'm not sure if we'll be able to do that in 2024, but maybe in the near future, we should be able to work towards that. I'm not sure how my message will be like.
Feels like you have a lot of work already.
Yeah,
it's cross-platform and also multiple languages. It's like, wow.
And
is this something that, you know, the PyLadies community or the Django community can help create PRs, or can people contribute to it? Or
yes, it will be great. I think what happened with Django Girls is the burnouts did not affect the founders only, but I think most of the contributors who worked with the founders when it started in 2014, they also went through the burnout. So we have fewer contributors now than Django Girls did like back in 2017. So we are always open to new contributors coming up to work on the tutorial, work on the website, and all our other resources. And if PyLadies feel they can work with us on that, we'll definitely welcome them, as well as the Django community. Every now and then it sprints DjangoCon Europe. I do attend them and I get people who contribute. I have some regulars who contribute only at DjangoCon Europe. I think that will help if we had more people from the Django community and PyLadies contributing to the resources, because I know many people use the Django Girls tutorial to introduce people to Python and Django. It's just we have fewer maintainers these days.
Yeah, okay. I think that's really good. So maybe we can have a sprint for the Django Girls tutorial.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah,
can you share with us, like, how can people get started to contribute to this project? Do you have links, or what's the best way?
Yeah. All right. So for each of our resources, we have a contributing guide.
That's good.
On GitHub. Yeah. So if you want to contribute to the tutorial, there's an how to contribute guide, contributing guide there. If it's the organizer manual, we also have that, as well as the website. So you can just go on GitHub, fork our repo, whichever one you want to contribute to. you read the contributing guide on how to set up on your local machine, and then you can also check the issues that are already there on the repo. Or if you find any issues like typos, especially in the cases of the tutorial and our organizer manual, coach manual, you are welcome to suggest pull requests for them.
Yeah. So maybe after that, we'll collect the link from you and then we'll add it in the episode.
Yeah, I can compile all the links for on how to contribute to our resources and give them to you.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you're doing so much for Django Girls. I know Django Girls is like you said, you may be the first step for a lot of people to discover Python. So is it how you discover Python and Django? When and how do you discover them?
So up until 2015, I had no idea there is Python. Okay, so I met a friend of mine who was learning, I think he was doing Android through a digital skills program offered by Musinda Hub in Harare. And then he encouraged, we'd worked together at one of my previous employers, and he encouraged me to apply. So I applied and I chose Python because I thought I was interested in data science. I still am, but I think I like the software development side more. So I chose Python because it's general purpose. You can use it for many other uses. And that was, I think, I started around March 2015. So we're learning through Treehouse. And back then, Kenneth Love was still working at Treehouse. So he was my teacher.
Yeah.
And it was online and remote. After doing Python, I did Flask, which I used for my first project, which was a portal of some sort. And then a friend of mine, Humphrey, introduced me to Django. We wanted to organize a Django Girls event in Harare for 2016. And we wanted also to organize a PyCon Zimbabwe in 2016. So for me to learn Django, I used the Django Girls tutorial and the Django tutorial themselves together. And then, yeah, that's how I got started with Django.
Yeah, wow. That's really
that's
cool.
So, yeah, and I love hearing that. I feel like 2015 isn't that long ago. It maybe it feels long to people. Like it feels quite recent to me, you know. And you're just learning, and already you're contributing back to the community. You're leading the Django Girls, you know, being in part of, you know, being involved in the DSF. I think that's really, it's really inspiring. So thank you for all the work you do.
Thank you. Actually, yeah, you're right. I think I started contributing to Python and Django when I was actually a beginner, mainly because Python wasn't very known in Zimbabwe back then, and there were no opportunities for us in Zimbabwe. So we thought it best for the community to get together, organize events. And somehow it led me to the DSF, and then I ended up being on the board for 5 years as director, vice president for two, and president for 2 years. And I remember my first event was Django Under the Hood in 2016. I went under the Django Girls umbrella as well. And like, I felt like I am a beginner. I couldn't understand like most of the things they were talking about. I couldn't understand things that are going on at Django Codes, because I joined the community as a beginner and became a leader before I had actually honed up my skills in in Python and Django. But it has also helped me to grow, because you meet people, you learn from them. Sometimes it doesn't make sense then, but when you go back, you can go on and reflect and learn and understand the concept that they were talking about. I think I got involved with the community too early.
Is there something for you like happen in your first Django Girl that make you feel like, okay, this is feel like home to me, I want to work more on this project or like this initiative? And
so my first Django Girls event, I was a coach at Django Girls Windhoek in Namibia. It was part of PyCon Namibia 2016. Danielle is always talking about this. We traveled like 33 hours by road to get there because the grant couldn't cover flights for us, Humphrey and I. So, but it was nice. There were high school students. There were university students. And then there were more, like, there were other women who were, like, almost my age or younger. Then there were mature women who were, like, older than me, almost like, the same age as my mother, you know. Who were learning to, who were learning Python and Django through a Django Girls workshop. I've worked at a university for women before when I was starting. I think I like it when we create environment for women which is welcoming, where they can learn without being judged, you know, without being told, you know, it's easy, you know, why can't you get this fast, quicker, and, you know, learning at their own pace. So I think after attending Django Girls Windhoek, as well as organizing Django Girls Harare, for our Django Girls Harare, which was my second event, we had like primary school kids. Ooh. We were 8 and 9. They were our youngest participants. And then we had women in their 40s, 50s. Mm-hmm. And then we had like the middle-aged women. So
yeah,
I think because those were like my first events, I saw what Django Girls was doing to women and girls.
Mm.
And when I then went to Django Under the Hood, in 2016 November, I had already organized 2 Django Girls events in Harare and Mashingo, and also attended Django Girls Windhoek in Namibia. Then I thought we have the problem of women being underrepresented in tech was something that was peculiar to Africa. In my class, when we're doing in high school, I did maths, physics, and computing for A level, and we were 2 girls in our physics class out of 20. So we were like 10%. And for my degree, we started we were about 110, and we were about 10 or 11 women. By the time we graduated, we were around 45 to 50, and we were 6 women. So I had grown, you know, used to being 10% of the population because you are in STEM. So when I went to Django Under the Hood, I was surprised when I walked into the room for the first time, and I was like, oh, there are so many white men here, and I could count the women who were there at the event, you know. So then that's when I realized, okay, so probably this is what Ola and Ola had in mind when they started Django Girls. And that's when I realized what Django Girls, you know, means to the tech community globally, not just for me as a Zimbabwean in Zimbabwe, but everywhere in the world. We kind of have the same problems where we have fewer women in tech than compared to any other field. So I guess that's why I ended up working for them, because the cause makes sense to me even up to now. I can relate to it.
I totally understand, because I also study physics and my class also only 10%, and like half of the women who studying physics actually don't want to be there. So it's very tough. And I wish when I was younger, I have the same insight. I was like, oh, maybe we should create a space like Django Girls. But well, now we're here.
I think it's really important. And I mean, even now, it's still representation of women is still an issue in our community, in the Python and Django, in open source.
Not quite there yet. So
But we are trying. I know like there are people like you who are trying, you know, and that's like, I think we need more people to actually realize that this is a problem. It's not because, you know, there's no women, right? It's not because women are not interested. We are trying, like we try, but maybe there is something else that is, you know, the environment, like you mentioned, like maybe women are being judged more and it's just not a safe environment. So I'm really glad to hear that there are initiatives like the Django Girls to make it more inclusive and, you know, more welcoming.
But you're taking on another challenge. You are now like studying overseas and like, you know, how does it feel for you? You're in a new place, and maybe also like in the class, there isn't a lot of people who are like you. So, yeah.
I think honestly, I feel so old now because
no, never say that.
I graduated 2009, so it has taken me 15 years to pursue a master's in software engineering, which is something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. I'm excited, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that I can manage the pressure of being back in school again after, you know, many years of taking a break. I've done some courses in between, But full-time education, this is the first time that I'm doing full-time education after graduating. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a new challenge. I'm waiting to see what it's going to look like next week when I start, because here the way the courses are structured is different from what I am used to in Zimbabwe. You have a set timetable in Zimbabwe where you know I have these courses here, and then like your day, you know how your timetable is going to look like for the whole semester.
Mm.
But now here they do like you do two courses at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, out of four. So I have the schedule for the first two courses. Then we write exams. We do the other two courses.
Yeah, okay.
Beginning and the middle.
Yeah.
Then you kind of like you have a few hours of lectures, but they say you have to do a 40-hour week. When you left, like maybe at most, probably you have like 6 hours, maybe 12 hours of lectures, but you're supposed to do a 40-hour week. So the other study is supposed to be either in group work. They do a lot of group work here. I haven't met my classmates, so I don't know how my group is going to look like. But you also have to like pace yourself, be organized, and be able to study on your own to make those 40 hours. So, yeah, it's going to be a new challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very, like, brave, like, you know, kind of jump, because I know, like, for women, a lot of women, luckily I don't have that problem, but like with some women, they kind of take a break from their career, you know, take care of the family, and like, you know, have to start something again, like back in tech, or like it's a huge challenge. Yeah
For me, okay, so for me it's taking a break to go back to school, but I'm still single, so I don't have a family to consider. I think that makes it easy. It's just a matter of folding up my residence, the apartment that I was living in Harare, and coming here and set up another apartment for 2 years. And then we see how that goes after 2 years. But maybe it's because the application process to study in Sweden, it takes a bit of some time, because I started looking at the programs in October last year. I was hoping to get a scholarship with the Swedish Institute, which I did. And they opened they announced the programs that they were going to fund in 15 November. So I now knew which programs that I wanted to apply to. And then the application closed in 15 January. And then deadline for payment of application fees was 1 February. And then they opened the scholarship 12 February and closed 28 February. So I had to wait for the admission for 21 March, and then wait for the scholarship announcement 25 April. So I guess through all that waiting, and as well as then after knowing and then doing the application for the residence permit, and you kind of have time to prepare yourself mentally. Am I going to leave the country now? Am I going to fold things? Yeah, by the time that you have to leave in August, you kind of have like
mentally minus, prepared.
Like, 10 months. You are mentally prepared to say, okay, I'm now leaving this and I'm starting a new chapter. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of the cold.
Buy a little jacket in the winter.
So I don't know how it's going to look like. I've been to the West, and I think November in 2016 in Amsterdam, but it was cold, but it wasn't that cold.
It's very cold in February, in January and February.
Yeah, and then I was in Prague for Ubuntu Summit in November as well, early November. Yeah, both times were early November, so it wasn't that cold. So I have no idea. And I remember when I was coming for to JungleCon Europe in June, I left Zimbabwe. It was very warm. Then when I got to South Africa, it was like 14 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. And like when we were getting off the plane, it was windy and cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, this is at a time that I'm thinking of leaving Zimbabwe, which is like 300 days of sun and warm, to relocate to Sweden. And I'm struggling with 14 degrees Celsius, something they call summer in the West.
Yeah.
because your summer because the summer here is as good as my winter in Zimbabwe, you know. So I was like, am I really serious about this?
Another thing that I have like still not getting used to, maybe probably because I live in London, is that the snow and the slippiness of the floor, because we don't snow a lot in London, only once every few years. But like every time, I remember I've been to Sweden twice, it's both of them are in the winter, it's very cold and slippery. Like you have to buy those special thing to put on your boots so you don't slip. And
yeah. I haven't taken care of the boots thing, but I hope to get to it.
Yeah, but people there will teach you. And
yeah.
I haven't started regretting leaving Zimbabwe yet, but in terms of the weather, it has been home so far, not as cold. So yeah, we'll see how the winter goes.
Right.
What do you think is the role of Django Girls for the community?
Okay, so I think Django Girls is in an important role in the community to close the gender gap for within the tech industry. We have so many men compared to women. And what we are doing is we are providing resources for women to organize workshops that introduce women to programming with Python and Django. We have done two surveys so far, one in 2018, and another one recently, which we haven't published the results for. And but what we have found is some of our attendees, quite a good percentage, I can't remember, I think about, was it 21% last time? It actually transitioned from their careers to working to tech in different roles. Obviously, after attending our workshop, it's still, it won't be enough for someone, but most they go on to learn, like, you know, about 70 to 75%. They continue learning Python, learning programming until they actually transition to working to tech in different roles. Mm-hmm. So while it takes time for us to have results, I think we, as a community, doing an important role, in introducing women to programming and having more people, women involved in tech.
Mm-hmm. So how can the community support, you know, the Django Girls Foundation? I know you're fundraising, like, is there active fundraising that people can support right now, or what other ways can we support the Django Girls community?
Okay, so we are always fundraising all throughout the year. We welcome donations anytime. People can reach out to me via LinkedIn or using the Django Girls website, and I can give them details on how they can donate to Django Girls. Also, we always look for companies that can have their employees donate their time to work on our resources. That's something that we welcome as well. And we're always looking for, we are hoping to have new content, and we have some projects underway, new projects underway. And that would be helpful if we had partners to work with us. We went to do a crowdfunding campaign, but I was a bit away because of the relocation, and our awesomeness ambassadors was also on holiday. I'm not sure if we'll continue with that this year, or it might be for next year. But we always welcome donations anytime.
Yeah.
We do have a Patreon page that they can contribute to. Ooh. Also. They can sign up for monthly donations through our Patreon page. I can share the link as well.
Yes,
so
please.
If they want to be ongoing supporters, contribute monthly, we have that. We're also on GitHub. Sponsors, companies and individuals alike can also sign up to support us through there. And then we have PayPal and Stripe. If the people want to donate through that, we have set up various channels for people to donate.
I think Django Girl is a very good like initiative. I think companies, like, you know, they are maybe sponsoring events and stuff, but I think, you know, if you want to target, you know, certain group of people in a community, I think maybe consider Django Girls.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hope we have more companies come to support us. We've had some companies that supported us for quite a number of years, but I think COVID sort of like upset everything, and it also did affect our sponsorship as well. So we are hoping to get new sponsors to continue to support our work as well.
Yeah. So, you have talked about a lot of things. So any plans, except, you know, you're setting up the crowdfunding and stuff, but like anything for Django Girls, anything for yourself?
Okay. For myself, I want to complete my master's, so I hope to do that as do that very well. We have a 3-week roll call to see how you're doing. So I hope by then I'll be doing fine so that I keep my scholarship. I think by now I know I want to work in open source after I graduate. And there's a role that I'm aiming for that I keep checking whether they've hired. So that's something that I'm targeting to get after I complete my studies in the next 2 years. And then for Django Girls, we have a plan to start a boot camp, but it hasn't quite rolled out yet. It will start in the UK. So I'm hoping that we will be able to introduce that maybe 2025 or 2026. Instead of just giving women a one-day workshop, we provide resources for them to learn for a number of weeks. And also, we are aiming for it to be flexible, to cater for women who have childcare issues, you know, so that they can be able to participate at their own pace. And hopefully, that will lead also to mentorship and for them to get new roles. So that's the one thing that we have been hinting about. Plans are just not set yet, but yeah, that's something that we hope to work towards in the coming years.
That
sounds interesting. Yeah, I think that'll be useful to have, like you said, more than just, you know, one day workshop and have a series of, you know, ongoing training. I think that's very exciting. I'm looking forward to learn more about it, and hopefully we can help
especially in the UK. I'm having help. Yay. That's really good, and it's very good to hear, and thank you for sharing so many stories with us. And I think it's a very enjoyable chat with you and know more about Django Girls. It's, you know, I always heard about the name. I try to help out once in a while, not a lot, but then like now I understand like more, like, you know, about Django Girls. And also interesting story, moving so far away to somewhere so cold, and you have to build your own furniture. So thank you so much. And
thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.